with us this morning in the 1 Kings chapter number 16. 1 Kings chapter number 16. This is one of the most intriguing stories I've read in the Bible. And yet you never hear a whole lot said about it. You study on it, you just find it touched on and glanced over, more or less, and studying on it, but it just intrigued me. And I read it last week, and God just kept it on my heart and mind, and I've tried to get away from preaching here, and so I'll preach on this, and I'll preach on that, and God just kept bringing me back to this. So it's for you this morning. You know, not for him and her or this one and that one. It's for you and 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 you. It's for you this morning. Amen. And it's for me. Amen. God don't bring us to a place and just keep something before us that he don't intend for us to do. Now, as far as these cookies, I was told I have a 10-box limit. I think 10 boxes is a little short-sighted myself. Amen. But that's what my problem was to begin with. Amen. In 1 Kings chapter 16, verse number 8, if you found that, would you stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word this morning? The Bible says in 1 Kings 16, verse number 8, in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah, 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him as he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on the throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. He left him not one that pisseth against the wall, neither his kinsfolk nor his friends. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah, his son, by which they sinned and by which they made Israel to sin in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belongeth to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired and hath also slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri captain of the host, king over Israel that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house, and he burnt the king's house over him with fire and died. For his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, in walking in the ways of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri, and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace? I preached here several years ago, and I looked back to see if I could find my old notes anywhere, and I couldn't find them, and I'm glad the Lord does that sometimes to give you a message afresh. And, you know, I thought it was just ironic. Can you imagine somebody that would rather burn their house down upon them than they would just to submit themselves to serve the Lord. And that's exactly what happens in our lives. We burn our spiritual houses down around us because we don't want to submit ourselves unto God. We would rather take our own life. We'd rather destroy ourselves than to let God's will be done. And that's what we do so many times in our spiritual life. And I want to preach to you this morning about burning down the house. And if this gets personal, I haven't planned this message and I haven't laid this message out to touch any individual heart, but God has laid it on my heart and God kept it on my heart. And when I tried to look at something else, God brought me back to this message. So this message is for you this morning. Amen. Something that we all need to give heed to is that we have the ability to destroy our spiritual houses. We have the ability to destroy our spiritual legacies, or we have the ability to build it up. Amen. Too many times we allow ourselves to get wrapped up in ourselves. Amen. And we don't do the things that are pleasing unto God. Now, God allows things to happen. God used what happened here to allow His word to be fulfilled, but God could have done it in another manner. But since Zimri was willing to be the instrument, it fulfilled what God said would be done. You see, David ran from Saul for years, even though David had been anointed to be king of Israel. And though Saul had sinned, David did not choose to take Saul's life when he had the opportunity on several occasions. He was within a sword thrust or a spear thrust of Saul at times, but David would not lift up his hand against God's anointed. Amen. And, you know, Zimri could have waited and let God deal with it. So God just used what Zimri did to fulfill what he wanted to do, as God does so many times. And so many times in our lives we see things and we look at things in other people's lives, and we've talked about this in Sunday school some, and it's talking about there's a sin not unto death and there's a sin unto death, and we want to look at people and we want to point our fingers and their life is a mess because of this and their life is a mess because of that. We need to quit worrying about the sin in other people's lives and let God and the individual deal with their sin. And we need to start praying for the hearts and for the life that needs to be delivered from what sin has done. But I want you to look for a few moments this morning and not look around the house, not look to anyone else, not look to anybody else, but look into self as we preach this message, burning down the house. Zimri was captain of half of the chariots. He was joint commander of the army of Elah, and he was a powerful man, and yet he took his position and he used it in a way to usurp his authority. In chapter 16, verse 20, it says, in his treason. Amen. You know what treason is? That's the highest level of national sin that can be committed against a nation. When a person commits treason against America, that's the highest level of crime. That's the highest level of injustice an individual can do against his country. Amen. And the Bible says that Zimri committed treason. And he got to the place to where his treason caught up with him and he burned his house down upon him. I want to look at some things that brought Zimri to this place this morning. Some things that the Bible tells us this morning brought Zimri into the place of burning down his own house, and the very things that will bring you to the place of destroying your house and burning down your house spiritually, burning down the spiritual legacy that you can leave behind. Look in verse number 9. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him. in verse number 16. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired. When we conspire to do wrong in our hearts, no matter how much we try to justify it, we will destroy our house. We will destroy a spiritual legacy. We will burn down what we have tried to build up. The Bible tells us of people who tried to conspire to do things. They conspired to do wrong and tried to justify it as being right. Zimri conspired against Eli. He thought that he was going to do right. He thought he was doing Israel a favor by ridding the kingdom of another evil and sinful king, and yet he went about it the wrong way. Amen. Sometimes we try to justify our wrongdoing by the things that we think are right. Adam and Eve conspired together to sow fig leaves and to try to cover and hide their sin. But was their sin hidden from God? No, it wasn't. Simeon and Levi conspired together, and I believe in their mind they had a plan already in place when Shechem come and said that he wanted to pay a dowry for Dinah, their sister. You see, Dinah went to visit the ladies in Shechem and the city of Shechem, and Shechem, the young man, seen her, and he fell for her, man, just flat on his face, and they did some things that they shouldn't do. Got in a situation they should never have been in. Amen. But he was going to do the right thing. And he come and he offered to pay whatever a dowry that they ask to buy Shechem, or not to buy her, but to take her, to pay the dowry that he could have her for his wife. He wanted her. He loved her. He was wanting to do what was right, even though he had done what was wrong. Amen. But there was somebody that was conspiring against him, that was trying to do right even though he had done wrong, amen, and was conspiring to do wrong and to make it look like it was right. And Simeon and Levi, they convinced all the men. They said, here's what we'll do. We won't share ourselves. We won't share our women. We won't share our men with your women and your women with our men around. We won't intermarry. We won't get involved. We won't have fellowship with you unless you'll circumcise all the males of the city. So they circumcised all the males. And the Bible says after 3 days, when everybody was sore, everybody was too weak and weary from what had happened to do anything, that Simeon and Levi went about the whole town and they killed every man. Amen. It's a Bible story. See, they were trying to get even. They were trying to make things right. But they were doing it wrong. Stick with me. We're going somewhere. Judas, he conspired with the Pharisees. He thought it would end all the persecution and the turmoil that they were having. He conspired with the Pharisees to satisfy himself. David conspired with the captain of his army, Joab, to have Uriah the Hittite murdered. And although he didn't pull the trigger, so to speak, although he wasn't the one that shot the bow or threw the spear or used the sword, he told Joab, said, put Uriah in the fiercest part of the battle, and then everybody withdraw from him. David was guilty of murder, and he conspired for the murder because he wanted to cover his sin. Ananias and Sapphira conspired together to lie to the man of God, to lie to the early church. But more importantly, Peter said, you haven't lied to me. He said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. You see, we conspire to do things in our life. They thought they were doing a good thing. They went and sold a property because somebody else had sold the property and had brought the proceeds of the property and had given it to the disciples, given it to the church. Amen. They wanted to be seen as doing the same thing. They went and sold their property. They kept back part of the money, but they wanted everybody to think that they gave it all. It don't make no difference. If they would have kept half of it, they would have been just as happy to get the other half. Amen. But they lied about it. They conspired, wanting it to look like they were doing right, but they were doing wrong. Adam and Eve's sin was found out the instant that they sinned. God knew about it. The Bible says God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. You've done sinned. You've tried to hide your sin. And what did God say? Adam? Adam, where you at, Adam? You're always right here when I come. Adam, where you at, Adam? What's going on here today? Adam says, we were naked and we hid ourselves. See, they conspired to sow fig leaves and found that their fig leaves were inadequate. We see that Levi and Shechem, Levi and Simeon, that they conspired to kill all the men of Shechem. And maybe they found the justice that they were seeking. But Jacob told them, said, you've made me to stink. You've put us all in danger. He said, because now you've made us to stink in the face of all the people of the land. David and Joab conspired. Joab didn't understand what he was conspiring to, but he knew to put somebody in the heat of a battle and withdraw from him, amen, was murder. He knew what he was doing. And David was told it would set his house in turmoil. Oh, Judas, he conspired with the Pharisees to betray Jesus. And it brought such guilt upon him that he went and hung himself. Ananias and Sapphira, they conspired to lie to the church, to lie to God. And it cost them both their life. Amen. They both died. We can try to cover our wrongdoing and we can conspire reasons why we're doing wrong. You know, we reason within ourselves that, well, we can do what we want to do instead of what they know they should do. They reason within themselves. Many of us as Christians, we reason within ourselves, it's all right if I do this because. Let me ask you something. Does your because honor God with what you're doing? I can reason within myself to do this because. Does my because emulate the Word of God? I can reason within myself. I can reason within myself to do anything. I can reason within myself. It's all right to drink the Bible. Look, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And he got drunk. Well, it's all right to drink. Let me tell you, there's nowhere in the Bible that it says it is a sin to drink. Say, now you can say amen. It's the truth. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that there is a sin to drink. But when God tells you repeatedly in his word that the effects that something has on you does not emulate godliness, then we can try to reason it out all we want to. And we need to stay away from it. Because he tells us to abstain from all appearances of evil. Why did Elah get killed? Because he drunk himself drunk. Amen. What happened when Moses got drunk and passed out drunk? Amen. It brought discord in the family. Or Noah. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Noah. Yeah. It brought discord in the family. Well, we can see it time and time again. God tells us what the consequence. And we can reason to do anything we want. I have people reason that with me all the time. I have people reason some of the most crazy things that you could ever imagine. Things that you would never believe that a Christian person would try to be reasoning. And we can conspire. We reason within ourselves. And then we wonder why our children don't have a desire for the things of God. I could tell you why, because you've reasoned in yourself so many times that other things were more important. You burned your house right down around you. Amen? We wonder why our co-workers don't want to hear when we try to tell them about Jesus, because you haven't necessarily lived a Christian life around him most of the time. You've conspired to burn your house down spiritually. Amen. You wonder why your marriage is in trouble. You wonder why your relationships between you and your children are in trouble. You wonder why all these things are happening. Go back and look in your life and find out the times that you have conspired to do things that are contrary to the will of God, contrary to the Word of God, contrary to the desires of God. And then ask yourself, who's responsible for burning down my house? Go look in the mirror. Amen. First, we conspire. Say, Pastor, you're supposed to be preaching and uplifting us. Turn in the book of Daniel for a minute. I will give you the uplifting that you're looking for. Daniel chapter 10, verse number 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Look at what he said. From the first day. What is it in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel? What's it tell us that Daniel did? He purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat and with the king's drink. David chose to live a separate and satisfied life. And it honored God. And God heard it, and it pleased God. Thou didst set thine heart to understand. Daniel wasn't conspiring. Well, I can't help it. I'm here at the king's house. I can't help it. I'm a prisoner and I'm captive. I can't help it. And I might as well just go along and not make waves. Amen. From the very first. And look at what he says. And to chasten thyself before God. You know what that word chasten means? It means to correct. Amen? To correct thyself before God. Daniel knew what was before him, but he knew what was right in the eyes and in the sight of God. Amen? He knew what God wanted, and he knew what he wanted, and he knew that what God wanted was more important than what he wanted. Amen? And he didn't try to conspire and to make excuses and to find a reason to do the things he wanted. He chose to do the things that were pleasing unto God. Amen? If we would quit conspiring, you know what they say an excuse is? Y'all ain't going to like this. And there are some legitimate excuses. Amen? Amen. But for the most part, And I've read this several times. An excuse is a lie that's clothed in the skin of an excuse. Amen. But we've reasoned in our hearts. We've reasoned in our minds. We've reasoned in our lives. We've conspired within ourselves to make it seem right. Zimri conspired with himself. He didn't have to conspire with anybody else. He conspired with himself. But Daniel conspired within himself to do right. Amen. Thou didst set thine heart. He made the choice in his life to do what was right. Amen. When you stop and think what's at stake, think about your children. Think about your relationship, your wives and your parents and your brothers and your sisters. Think about the co-workers. Think about those around you. Is it worth conspiring with yourself to put on the appearance of doing what's right? Zimri thought he was doing a good thing. Man, Elah is evil. His daddy was evil. Man, Dave's evil and I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to deal with this. But he didn't do it right. Amen? He didn't do it the way that it should be done. Conspiring to do wrong and thinking you're doing right. Thinking that it's innocent. Oh, one little drink ain't going to hurt. One little toke ain't going to hurt. One little pill ain't going to hurt. Amen? Ask anybody that's addicted to alcohol. Ask anybody that's addicted to drugs. Did you start out mainlining? Did you start out putting needles in your arm right off? No. But I compromised a little bit of the time. You know, it wasn't so bad the first time, and it wasn't so bad the second time, and pretty soon, they found themselves in a place where they didn't want to be. Amen? Find somebody whose life has been destroyed by gambling. It started out on the simple things, the easy things. One of my best buddies in the whole world, he would bet on anything. He said, "I'll bet you on it." I said, "I ain't gonna bet you on it. He said, "It's more fun when you bet." He'd bet on. He said, "I'll bet on anything," and he would. Just for the whether he thought it was a long shot or not, just to bet on it, he would bet on it. But people start out on the little things. The next thing you know, they've lost their house. I know somebody that lived probably today would be $1 million house. Right on the outskirts of Washington, had a job working in the government, working for the government, had a gambling problem, hid it from his wife, hid it from his kids, tried to make it look like everything was doing right. His kids come home from school one day and all their belongings were set in the street. Everything they owned, all their personal stuff, setting right in the street. Why? Because he'd gambled everything that they had away. But he thought it was all right. It wasn't no big deal. It happened just a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. And it goes that way with everything. Flirting. Amen. Dating. Amen. Don't take no time before you've went further than what you was intending on going. And before you know it, you've lost your purity. And I'm not just talking to the young ladies, I'm talking to the young men. You've lost your purity. You didn't intend to. You thought you was in control. You thought you was going to do right. You thought, well, she loves me. Well, he loves me. You've burned your house down. Spiritually, you've hurt your testimony. You've hurt yourself, and you wasn't intending on doing that. But he conspired to do wrong, trying to make it look right. Continuing to follow sinful direction when feigning doing right. Look at what it says in verses 10 to 12. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead. And it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on his throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha. He left him none that pisseth against the wall, neither of his kinsfolk nor of his friends. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. He went in and he set his heart on ridding the kingdom of Elah. He conspired within himself, and he went in and he killed the king. But he didn't stop there. See, that's where sin gets you. Amen? Well, if this is all right, maybe this will be all right too. There was no need to kill all the king's family. He didn't just kill all his heirs. He killed all the king's family. And then he killed all his friends. Amen? He said, well, I can understand the heirs because maybe, yeah, they would contest his right. Well, and that was kind of a common thing to do. But he killed everybody. He destroyed everybody. It was looking like he was just cleaning house. He's doing right. Oh, the preacher, he just needs to go through the church and clean the church out. He needs a brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so and brother over here and brother, and pastor just needs to go and deal with him. He just needs to clean up. Why don't you clean your own house up first? And then pray for those that need to clean their own house up. Quit worrying about what's going on in everybody else's life. Amen? Oh, it sounds good. It don't really sound good. It sounds sanctimonious. Amen? And don't get me wrong. We all wax that way sometimes. And I look at some of the things that are going on. I remember years ago, a buddy of mine, him and his wife were going in the Radio Shack in Elkton, and that's before everybody had cell phones. Only people that didn't mind spending extra money and had a lot of extra money had cell phones. And I mean, we was working good jobs and we didn't have cell phones. Hardly anybody we knew had cell phones unless the company issued it to you or a boss had it or a company owner or somebody had it. And as they were going into the Radio Shack there in Elkton, a guy was begging them for money. I'm homeless, I'm hungry, I haven't eaten. Can you give me some money? And his wife was getting ready to get some money out. He said, don't give him no money. He don't need money. Oh, we got to give him some money. He said, leave it be. He said, come on. They went in the store. They come back out. Here's this guy that hasn't eaten for 3 days, supposedly. Needs money. Sitting on the curb talking on a cell phone. Do you see the picture? You getting the point? Sometimes we look at people and because of what we've seen and what we've experienced, we don't see the need. We look beyond maybe where there is a real need. I worked in New York City for 2 years. I worked right out of Queens down through the Bronx. Our equipment was in Queens. Picked our equipment up every night. Run up to the north end of the Bronx. Worked down through the Bronx. Older folks will remember a movie that was out back in the 60s called Fort Apache, the Bronx. Rode right past the 13th Precinct every night. And it does have the big sign up there that says Fort Apache, the Bronx. And it says that because of all the violence that went on in that area. I worked up there. I've seen homeless people. And I watched them just drink everything away that somebody would give them. Somebody would give them food. Somebody posted something on Facebook here a month or so ago. They was in the Northeast Plaza up there, and somebody coming begging for food. And and wanting money, hadn't eaten. So he said, I'm not going to give you no money. I'll go over here and get you some food. Went over to Burger King and got him food and brought it back and give it to him. And as they were pulling away, watched him throw it in the trash can. It hardens your hearts. And sometimes we don't mean to be sanctimonious or be judgmental in our looking, but we've become calloused. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who look at someone else's sin, someone else's life, and are critical of everything that everyone else is doing. Amen? And we run them down instead of praying for them. We're not doing them any good, not doing yourself any good. I know kids that can tell you what's going on supposedly because of what they've heard their mom and dad say in every family in the neighborhood. Well, this one here, why is that? Because mom and dad run around to criticizing everything everybody else does. And the kids are little paw parrots, they run around. Amen. They run the preacher down, they run the deacons down, they run the Sunday school teachers down, and the kids hear it. And then they wonder why their kids ain't in church. Amen? They talk about this one's sin and that one's sin and everybody else's sin and forgot that gossip's a sin as well. Amen? Because that's all they hear. And they wonder why the kids have no time. The kids have no desire. The kids aren't edified. You know what? When we start to see where self will take you, self will take you right to the palace of your own imagination and will burn it down around you. We need to change our lives. We need to see a difference in our lives when we come to Christ. Zimri had the opportunity maybe to step in there and do what was right, but instead of doing what was right, he took things to an extreme. He just killed everybody. He destroyed everything. And you know, sometimes that's what we're doing in our spiritual lives. We're destroying everything because we fail to strive to do what's right. In Romans, I tell you, if you've never taken the time to read through Romans, you need to read through it and reread through it. Romans is a treasure trove of things that will strengthen you and help you grow. But in chapter 6, verse 1, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? The Hebrew children had been delivered, but they were constantly dabbling in sin. The northern kingdom of Israel had separated just like God said it would. And God even given man the opportunity to be the king of the northern kingdom. But he chose to sin and to snub his nose at God because he was worried about where people would go to worship. That's what it was all about. He's worried about where people would go to worship, so he made him some golden calves. People don't have to go to Jerusalem. They don't have to do it God's way. And he caused a whole nation to fall into sin. And every king after him, it seems like, got progressively worse and worse and worse. And Zimri was no different. He was one of those kings. We see the multitudes that listened to Jesus in John chapter number 6 in verse 66 says, and from that time forward, many went back from following him because they were there to get the flesh satisfied. And Jesus was trying to deal with the heart. He said, the words I speak, they're spirit and they're truth. He said, I'm trying to afflict your heart. I'm trying to affect a change in your heart. But they wanted the belly satisfied. They wanted the flesh touched and tickled. You know, that's what the problem is in churches today. If you're not in the entertainment business, people don't want to go. And you can go down to this church and that church, and they got the smoke machine and the fog machine, and they've got the praise band, the rock band up on stage, and they got all the lights turned out, and the emphasis is on the preacher, and it's all about him. It's not all about me. It's all about Jesus. It's not all about you. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Well, we're not here to satisfy the flesh. We're here to satisfy and to meet the needs of the Spirit. The spirit of man is longing for something that only God's Word can supply and only God can satisfy. Amen? The spirit of man needs some help because it's messed up to begin with. Amen? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference in any of us. We need to get our lives focused on Him and get through. He said, shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We can't keep on going the same way we was going and expect it to not to have an effect on our spiritual house, to have it not have an effect on our children. We can't keep sinning and living in sin and doing the things that satisfy the flesh and, as we say, turn around and wonder what's happening to our homes, what's happening to our church, what's happening in our lives. We're going on the same old way. He said, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, like that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Amen. Let me ask you something. You say, well, God doesn't say how many times I should come to church, but are you here whenever you can be? Or do you make excuses not to be? See, you're conspiring. And then if you conspire to sin, pretty soon, if you're not careful, you make a pattern of it. And you continue doing it. You say, well, the Bible doesn't say that we have to be there every service, and it doesn't say this and doesn't say that. And I've heard these arguments, and Sunday school's not in the Bible. That was an invention that came about later on as a means to get kids to come to church. It was actually a school to teach you to read and write, and they used the Bible to do that so they could teach you the Bible. But so the kids, before public education was popular, a lady come up with the idea, hey, we'll just have Sunday school. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we'll teach them, but we use the Word of God to teach them with. It's a great teaching tool. But the Bible doesn't say we have to be there for Sunday school. But it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You say, well, it doesn't say how many times. And I get this argument all the time. Well, the Bible doesn't say I have to be there on Wednesday night. It doesn't say I have to be there. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says they were there daily. Okay? So if you want to get into your foolish arguments, and if you want to bring them up, let's always go back to the Bible. It's the final word. The Bible said they met daily. You wonder why things aren't the way they should be in your family. Are you conspiring to sin and then continuing in your sin? Do you think to yourself, well, ain't nobody telling me what to do, Then right here, he convinced himself of his self-importance. The Bible says there in verse 15, in the 20th and 70th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 years in Tirzah. And the people were encamped against Gibeon, which belongeth to the Philistines. And look in verse 16. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired, and hath also slain the king. Wherewithal, all Israel made Omri captain, and he did reign. See, sometimes we think we're too important. Sometimes we think it's all about us. And we forget that what we do affects so many others around about us. This isn't a beat you down message. This is a bring you to reality message. Amen. Sometimes we get wrapped up in thinking, oh, everything's all right because we've reasoned in ourselves it's all right. Sometimes we find ourselves lying to God, sinning against God, and we do it all the time because we've convinced ourselves everything's all right. Sometimes we think we're so important. My job's so important. My position's so important. My family is so important that we don't need this. But you're not as important. That's what you think you are. Zimri thought he was important. He killed Elah the king, killed all Elah's family and friends, went down to the palace, set himself on the throne, and within 7 days, he found out he wasn't as important as he thought he was. Because all Israel made Omri the king. You can make yourself whatever you want to be. You can make yourself your own little king. You can make yourself your own little dictator. You can make yourself your own little god if that's what you want. But you're not as important as you think you are. Amen? God said, I'm close to the one that's of a humble spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. Isaiah 57:15. In Philippians, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, God's Son humbled himself to the Father. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Most don't want to yield to his will, Christians included. And they're burning down their house spiritually. Most won't surrender all. That means all your time. Do you hear that? All your time. It's all his time. You only have what time he allows you to have. And use it to the glory of God. Amen. Most won't surrender their money. Man. Somebody, I think Charles, Brother Charles, somebody posted it here again recently. But, you know, $20 seems like a whole lot when you think you're putting it in the offering plate. Amen. But it don't seem like nothing when you're out to dinner, out partying, or out having a good time. It's just a drop in the bucket. It's really nothing. How about your talents? Amen? You realize the only talent you have is the talent that God has allowed you to have. But so many won't give God their talents. They won't surrender all to let God have His way. How about your relationships? Are you willing to break off some relationships that need to be broken off and form some new relationships that need to be formed? How about them? How about your influence? You know, you're the only person that has the ability to reach some people that God puts in your path. Do you use your influence to draw them to the Lord? To humble yourself, and it's not about me. I tell folks all the time, it's not about Charlestown Baptist Church. It's not about the preacher ain't much. I invite folks down to church all the time. They don't know who I am. I said, come on down and be with us. I said, the pastor ain't much, but he preaches the word. You know, they ain't got a clue who I am. Amen. You know, it's not about me. It's not about this church. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. Him exalted. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. Sometimes we think we're so important. We're too important to come and kneel at the altar. What's people going to think? Who cares? Amen. When was the last time you had a trip to the altar? When was the last time you come and you humbled yourself and you had that broken and contrite spirit before God and you wanted God to move and you wanted God to have His will and His way? Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song. When was the last...